It's time to join our American family Robinson again in Centerville. Windy Bill seems unable to give up the idea of a political career, and as a last desperate resort, tried to interest Dick Collins in backing his campaign, an effort which came to nothing when Dick refused on the very good ground of having no money. Windy believed that this objection was taken care of when young Bob Robinson discovered an ad in the Herald's personals asking all the heirs of one John Collins, who died in 1710, to communicate with a box holder in care of a Chicago newspaper. Bob and Windy insisted that a letter be sent, asking for further information, and Dick allowed himself to be persuaded to do it, but swore the other two to secrecy. Now we find him in the office of the Centerville Herald in his natural role of hard-working newspaper reporter, apparently quite unaffected by the possibility of being an heir. Windy has just come in.
Dick, may I speak to you a minute?
No, I'm sorry, I'm busy. Come back later.
Oh, but this is important. There's been developments, Dick. I found out something.
Found out something about what? Say, what's the matter with you? What are you creeping around here for, looking like the villain out of Nellie, the beautiful cloak model?
Not so loud. I can't talk here. Too many people. And this is too important. Can't we go somewhere?
Oh, all right. Mr. Robinson's out, so I guess we can go in his office for a minute. But you've got to understand, Windy, you can't come in here all the time pestering me with this darn fool business.
Darn fool business? That's all the thanks I get for spending hours of valuable time trying to help you out.
Valuable time. You're probably so busy you can only sleep 14 or 15 hours a day. Now, what is the development? Have you found out I descend from a long line of horse thieves?
First, we'd better shut the door. You can't be too careful.
Oh, all right.
Now, have you heard from them yet?
No, of course not. We haven't had time to get an answer to that document you composed.
Oh, we should have wired. I don't know why I didn't think of it.
Well, if this inheritance has been waiting for me since 1710, I don't think we have to start rushing things now. Say, you didn't bring me in here to inquire about the mail, did you?
No. It's about my genealogical research of your antecedents. I have come across some very significant information. Your father's name was John Collins.
Oh, for Pete's sake, I knew that. It's in the records of the orphanage.
Ah, but that's not all. Your grandfather's name was also John Collins.
Well, I can't say that I'm terribly surprised, since my father's name was John Collins, Jr.
Dick, my boy, don't you get it? The significance of it all? What was the name of the man whose heirs are being sought? Why, John Collins.
Well, great suffering catfish. There's nothing very startling about that. There have probably been several million John Collinses sprouting up since 1710.
I know, my dear boy. But you must appreciate that you're a more likely prospect for the inheritance than if you didn't come from a long line of John Collinses.
Oh, sure. I have a swell chance of being the rightful heir. But I'm not ordering that limousine and chauffeur and stuff. Not yet. You go on with the good work, Windy, if it gives you any pleasure. But I want to make it clear to you right now that if I do get any money out of this, it's not going to be used to support you as a political candidate for anything. Not even for commissioner of the street cleaning department.
Now, that's all right, my boy. All I ask is the satisfaction of establishing you in your rightful place as heir to the estate. And, of course, that 35% that we agreed was a purely nominal return for my trouble in managing this thing for you.
Oh, you're welcome to that. I don't think you can get into much trouble with 35% of nothing. Unless you try to spend it. You haven't done that, have you?
No, I haven't made any commitments exactly.
What do you mean, exactly? Windy, you haven't bought anything on the strength of this mirage you're chasing.
No, of course not. I've just been looking over the local real estate market, keeping my eye open for a nice site for a country estate.
Well, you'd better not do anything more than just look. I'm not going to help get you out of jail, and that's where you're headed for.
Why, nonsense. How could I be put in jail? I only gave the agent your name.
You what?
Why, I gave him your name. Of course, I was looking for an estate for you. I'm purely unselfish about this thing. I'm sparing no effort to help you assume your rightful place as the heir to a fortune. You can't go on living in that modest little cottage.
Oh, stop. I should have known better than to get myself into this thing. Just how far have you gone with this real estate venture? If you've let me in for
but
a lot
Dickie,
of...
But, Dickie, I only told the man to bring the papers over to your house tonight to be signed. Ah, it's a beautiful estate, Dick. 10 acres. Wooded, stables, gatekeeper's cottage, and the mansion itself? Oh, it's a dream.
Oh, my gosh. You blithering old... Listen, Windy, try to get this through your head, will you? I am not a millionaire, not by a long shot. And even if I get to be one, I'm not going to buy any stables. Stables. You ought to be put away somewhere. Nobody's safe as long as you're loose.
Well, of course, you don't have to use the stables.
Understand this, Windy. Even if this inheritance does by some miracle belong to me, I'm going to be the one to dispose of it, not you. And if you sic any salesman on me, I'll brain you. I'm not buying any estates, do you get that?
Well, I was only trying to help. I just thought it'd be nice for you and Betty. I had only your best interests at heart.
All right, don't cry about it, and don't do it anymore. What the dickens am I going to tell Betty when this man comes to the house to have me sign papers for the purchase of a small addition of Buckingham Palace? Answer me that.
Well, that's so. Betty probably will wonder. I hadn't thought of that.
No, of course not. You never think of anything except getting people into trouble. I wish you'd hurry up and marry Miss Timmons and take yourself off our hands. Why don't you go and butt into her affairs?
Well, you know, that's one of the best things about this inheritance of yours. If it comes through, and I have no doubt it will, I may not have to marry Miss Timmons. And frankly, I can think of a better fate than being tied for life to a face like hers. Yes, sir, that 35% commission ought to take care of me very nicely without resorting to matrimony.
Oh, look here, Wendy. You can't do that. Now you can't. Think of her broken heart. Oh, think of the rest of us. Wendy, promise me you won't do anything like that. You won't break it off.
Well, not until we're certain of this inheritance, anyway. I always say a bird in the hand gets the worm.
Tell Reynolds to set that up right away and show me the dummy. Well, what's this, a conference?
Oh, Lukey. No, this isn't a conference. No, indeed. Just dropped in to pass the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
Luke! What's that you've got in your hand? Letters?
Yes, why? What's strange about that?
The late mail is in.
Naturally. That's a very fairly obvious conclusion, but...
Dick! Maybe it's come, maybe.
Yes, well, you'd better get along, Wendy. You'll be late for your engagement.
What? Oh, yes, my engagement.
Yeah.
I'll stop by Miss McGillicuddy's desk and collect your mail on the way out.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's the idea? Why the excitement about mail?
All right, Wendy, go.
You don't mind if I open it, do you, Dick?
No, only beat it.
Yeah, what's up, Dick? That performance seems to indicate that Wendy is at it again.
Yes, he is, and it's my fault, I suppose. But it's nothing for you to worry about, Chief. I can handle it, I hope.
You better tell me about it, Dick. That wild light in his eye and the general air of hysteria are bad signs. They mean he's getting himself or someone else into trouble.
I think I'm the goat this time, but I can't tell you about it. I deserve what I'm probably going to get.
Now, I hope you haven't fallen for one of his get-rich-quick schemes.
Yes, I did for a while. But it's not too late to get out of it. And it's something I'd rather not go into. A fellow hates to discuss his mental lapses with his boss.
Oh, now, don't take it too hard. More experienced people than you have fallen for Wendy's style of salesmanship.
I don't know why I listened to him. I certainly ought to know him better by this time.
Well, it's a funny thing. I think the answer is that people like you and me can't realize that all the energy and vim that Wendy puts into his hot air schemes doesn't mean a thing. You have a feeling there must be something behind it all. Something to justify all those flowery phrases and windmill gestures. But Wendy ignores entirely the fact that the aim of his life, making money, can only be achieved by following the rules, by taking advantage of the system developed by people who have been successful at it.
He certainly isn't willing to recognize the old principle that hard work is the only formula for success.
Nor are a great many other people who are trying to substitute a utopia via law for industrial recovery, via plain, old-fashioned hard work. Now, it seems to me that the very men who are best qualified to help get this country out of the woods, and I mean all the way out of the woods, are the same men who have made a conspicuous success out of running their own business through hard work. I was reading somewhere a while ago, this Congress of American Industry, which met recently in New York, unanimously decided that industry needs even more than a temporary period of relief from the national policies which are paralyzing initiative. Assurance that future national policies will be based on business principles will give private industry, private initiative, and private labor a real chance to work out their own salvation.
And Wendy's just the same. He wants to make money by using his wits instead of his brains and replace good hard work with fancy oratory. And I had to fall for it. If Wendy and the panacea peddlers would only keep their bright ideas to themselves...
Oh, no, that wouldn't be any fun. Then there'd be nobody to applaud.
Well, if Wendy thinks he's having fun with me, he'll find out he's mistaken. I'm going out there right now and put a stop to this particular project.
Well, I hope you catch him in time. Usually, if Windy gets any encouragement at all, he's off like a hound on the scent, and nothing can stop
we'll
him.
We'll see about that.
Well, now I tell you why. Why, of course it's a cinch. There's nothing to it. I tell you, within a few weeks
Windy.
We'll have... Dick, it's come. The letter. And listen.
I'm through listening. You listen. This whole thing is off, see? There'll be no more of this foolishness about me being the heir to some ancient remnant of the Pilgrim Fathers.
Richard Collins. Remember, you're speaking of your great-great-great-great-grandfather. And it behooves you to show the old gentleman some respect.
Oh, grandfather, my eye. There probably never was such a person as this John Collins who suddenly cropped up after 100 years to send you off your head and...
There never was, eh? Well, take a look at that.
I won't. You've made enough of a fool of me already.
Oh, Dick, listen, it's the goods this guy in Chicago says it is.
Yes.
There was such a guy, and well, will you just listen to the letter and then see if you can feel so snooty
about it. I tell you, I'll have none of it. I don't want...
Dear Mr. Collins... Your letter to my ad in the Personals column of the Centerville Herald convinces me that you are probably one of the logical claimants to the estate of John Collins to whom the ad refers.
You see?
John Collins was an early settler in Massachusetts who was the heir to a vast estate in a baronetcy in Ireland. Some old documents unearthed by me establish the fact that he came to this country believing that his father had cut him off from his rightful inheritance as eldest son. But further research into old records in Ireland are expected to divulge that he was, in fact, the legal heir.
Uh-huh.
In tracing John Collins' family in this country, I have found that his direct descendants moved to what is now Kansas City in 1861, after which time I have been unable to find any record of them. The John Collins who went to Kansas in 1861 was a direct heir, and he had 3 sons. Since you come from that part of the country, there is every possibility that you may be the descendant of one of those sons.
Now then!
Of course, you realize that there's a great deal still to be done before your claim can be established. But I would suggest it would be well worth your while to make a trip to Chicago.
There. You see, Dick? Why, this man himself believes that you're the heir. And the baronetcy, Dick. And vast estates in Ireland. And accumulated riches since 1710.
Don't interrupt, Windy. Here, Bob, let me see that.
Oh, it's all here. You're a cinch for it, Dick. Well, why, shucks, Kansas City isn't far away. And look at all the John Collinses Windy found out about in your family.
Hello, Dickie. What's going on?
Why, Betty, this is a pleasant surprise.
Well, you don't look it. You look as though you've been caught stealing jam. And what are you hiding behind you there?
Why, that's nothing. Just a letter that came into the office. I was turning it over to Bob to answer. Here, Bob, you know what to do with it.
Sure, I know. I'll take care of it.
Dick Collins, you're not keeping something from me, are you? So early in our marital career? What's the mystery?
Mystery?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no mystery. I don't know what you mean, dear.
Well, for one thing, I mean the man who came to the house this afternoon and tried to tell me that we'd bought a country estate.
A country estate?
Yes.
Windy, I could murder you.
But, Dick, I mean to say, how did I know? After all...
Now, don't change the subject, Dick. Who was that man, and what has Uncle Windy got to do with it?
Why, I don't know a thing about it, honey. The man must have been crazy, and naturally, I thought he was a friend of Windy's if he's crazy. Don't think about it anymore. It's just one of those things that happen to people who are related to Windy. Come on, dear, let's go in and see your father. He'll want to say hello to you.
What does the letter from the mysterious man in Chicago mean? Is Dick really an heir to a baronetcy of fortune? And will he be able to keep Betty from knowing what's going on? Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.